Because markets are extremely volatile, Nikki.
That's true. They are volatile. Okay. And you might not know that.
Hey, when you put your money into a stonk, you might not know this, but you're risking your money. Okay, welcome to the Shit the Did You Not Tell You About podcast.
It's called Shit They Don't Tell You. And I don't know if you've noticed recently, but we took the asterisk out. It's shit.
Yeah, finally.
Because
we embraced it.
Well, it's not that we embraced it, but yeah, they basically, like, instead of censoring curse words, they censor asterisks now.
Super weird.
Like, now you have to not have an asterisk or, yeah, we were shadow banned for a while on Apple iTunes.
Yeah, we found out. We had to
I don't know how many months we were shadow banned.
Very formally. So there you go. We changed it. But yeah, welcome to the show. I'm Steve Green, and this is my beautiful co-host and lovely wife, Nikki Lima.
Hello.
And today we are talking about the GameStop situation.
Yes.
This has been incredible.
Everybody has been talking about it to the most extremes that I've ever seen. Like the extreme of not knowing anything about it, and then the extreme of like trying to over-explain it.
What's funny about it is half of the shit that we're talking about with this, like shorting and like short squeezes and all this kind of shit, nobody even fucking knew about like 3 weeks ago.
I know.
And like, I know that, you know, no, of course, some people did, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about the general public, even people commenting on it and shit, talking about like all this stuff.
Totally.
Had no fucking clue all these terms now, all this stuff about the balance sheets and like, oh, we're going to squeeze this hedge fund. They didn't even know what the fuck's going on until like the guy on Reddit.
Yeah.
Well, really, they got on YouTube.
Well, it can't go viral if it's too niche. So now everybody has to be smug and pretend like they knew about the whole time.
It's the best. That's the best thing about the fucking internet sometimes, dude.
I love it.
Everyone's an instant read up expert because they just read a fucking article about it yesterday.
Well, to be honest, like I vaguely knew, I understood what was happening, right? I understand the concept. But then I had to relook up terms, like not just shorts, but like I knew what shorting was, but I just wanted to make sure that if I was to re-explain it to somebody that I knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So I did do that.
Well, because I'm in crypto, I know all about shorting. I don't do that shit. I think it's super fucking reckless.
It's like being at the craps table and there's that dude that everyone's having a good time. They're all like cheering and everyone's winning at the same time. And then a dude comes and bets against the table.
Oh yeah, it's bad.
And then he wins.
Bad vibes.
And then just like everyone just the fun just gets sucked out of the room.
Yeah.
That's what shorting is. You're that guy that bets against the table.
And for those of you who are listening, you're like, I don't know what the fuck happened with GameStop. Okay. So basically, at the beginning of the year, there was a huge hedge fund called Melvin Capital, and they decided that they were going, they looked at GameStop and they went, oh, you know what? This is going to go down.
Yeah.
And we're going to bet against it going up, and we're going to bet that it's going the fuck down. So we're going to do what they call open to short, where we're betting on it going down. And when it goes down, they're forced to purchase all of the shares for the company at whatever the price is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're making a huge bet against the company itself.
Yeah. Can you explain it in more simplistic terms?
Yeah. So
I saw the best description on Twitter.
Okay, go for it.
And wait, maybe I should just read it directly so I can actually quote the person.
Yeah.
So I found it. It doesn't have the original poster attached to the screenshot. It's getting retweeted everywhere,
okay.
But okay, it's a really great description. So he goes, or she, I don't know, goes, I know at least one of my followers doesn't quite understand what's happening in the stock market right now. And that's enough to motivate me to explain because this is somewhat of a turning point in world history. First, you need to understand what a short is in trading. A short is when you borrow a stock from a broker and sell it immediately at its current price. Then you hope the stock's price falls such that you can buy the stock back at a lower price and return the shares you borrowed to your broker, but keeping the difference. For example, let's say I want a short XYZ, which has a current price of $10. I borrow one share and sell it immediately at $10. I have $10 now, but I owe my broker the one share that I borrowed. Then let's say the price of XYZ drops to $7. I now decide to cover, aka buy it back, my short position and buy one share at $7 and return the one borrowed share to my broker. I made $10 when I sold and only had to pay $7 to buy it back. So the profit is the $3 difference. But now let's say that instead of the XYZ price dropping to $7, it goes up to $15. So I still need to return the one borrowed share to my broker, except now it's going to cost me a lot more to buy it back. If I buy it back at $15 so I can return the borrowed shares, my losses will be the $5 difference between selling at $10 and rebuying at $15. Since the price can raise indefinitely, my potential losses as a short seller are unlimited. At some point, you have to buy it back to return the shares I borrowed. The more the price rises, the bigger my losses. Now, for GameStop a few weeks ago, a Redditor on the Wall Street Bets, noticed that a hedge fund had taken a massive amount of short trades against GameStop. They convinced everyone on the thread to join forces and buy as much GameStop stock as possible. This made the price rise and the hedge fund's short position start to lose billions. Their losses even surpassed the $13.1 billion that the hedge fund was worth. Eventually, the hedge fund had to close their short positions and buy all the GameStop stock back at a much higher price, sending the price even higher still. This is called a short squeeze. Now, the hedge fund is still declaring bankruptcy, and the Reddit thread is combing through other hedge funds with massive short exposure so they can short squeeze them into bankruptcy as well. All of Wall Street is saying the public joining together in this fashion should be illegal, but really they just lost at their own game to the masses.
So yeah, that's kind of exactly what happened with everything.
Yeah.
And what's interesting,
because a lot of people didn't understand like what shorting was.
No.
So everything else after that is like, well, I don't know.
I only knew about shorting because of crypto stuff, but I didn't understand like the idea of catching a hedge fund off guard or any of that kind of shit. I didn't even think about that stuff. I knew that stuff kind of happens.
Yeah, like people are all doing strategies and stuff.
But I didn't know the targeting, like the way that you could actually see the order books and you go, oh, this shares, they're really shorting this stock.
Yeah.
And like all that's so crazy. I had no idea about any of that.
One thing I still don't find clear is like so now they're saying that they are not going to make their trades public, but I thought the whole reason they made them public before was because they had to. So I don't understand that part.
Yeah, still. Or even how that's like, is it legal to do that? Is it not okay to do that?
Yeah.
Like it's super weird.
It's a lot of unclear things about the legalities of everything, but that's what people are fighting about.
Because that would be the risk, right? Like if I'm a hedge fund and I even have the ability for whatever the fuck reason to short a stock 140%, which is what these guys did, right?
Yeah.
They didn't just short
GameStop.
They
were shorting for more shares than what were in circulation.
Which is a huge risk. Like, like obviously. Like you, so if you're short and it goes huge, like this thing goes to like what it did, it goes to 300 or more, you now have to purchase the shares that you borrowed. So you have to buy more GameStop stocks than exist. So you're completely fucked if that happens. That was your risk as a hedge fund. And you're allowed to do that for some reason.
Yeah.
Which is super crazy. But when you look at this as a whole, I see a lot of finger pointing going on. But the main person behind all this stuff that people even on all these shows haven't really mentioned is this guy. His name is Deep Fucking Value. That's his name anyways on Wall Street Bets on Reddit. He also has a YouTube channel where he has posted for months. He has like a red bandana on and he has posted about buying GameStop like 6 months ago. Like in the summer, he's posting about GameStop. Like early in the year, he's posting about GameStop and how he's buying GameStop. He's going hard on it. He thinks it's undervalued. Like this is kind of the origin of all this stuff. I think he has 300,000 subscribers now. I don't know what his subscribers count was then, but he kind of was just getting the company because he liked it. He remembered it from his youth and he thought that it was undervalued at $4 a share, which is when he started to buy it. And he went pretty hard on it actually. Like he bought a fuck ton of GameStop stocks. So this entire movement kind of spiraled from him. And I think that gets missed sometimes when we talk about this, where everyone says, well, all these people, they're just targeting shorts and they're going after GameStop because it was heavily shorted. And maybe that's why some people did that. But this guy bought this stuff very earnestly, like months ago.
This is the guy that became a millionaire.
The multi millionaire. Yeah. So I think that's important to bring up. And then, so then after that happens, right? It starts to go up a little bit. Like he buys and like at 4 and it goes to like 10 and he's like super stoked. He's like, holy shit, it went like more than 2x. It's awesome. And then I remember it went to like 30 and he's like, fucking GameStop, this is sick. And then people who are watching him are going, dang, GameStop is pretty sick, actually. This is pretty incredible. And then he like, there was some kind of, you know, GameStop gives like a quarterly like
report.
And then something happened in September. And actually, this has not been reported on either much. Well, maybe now. But there was a hedge fund at the time who bought 5% of GameStop's shares.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a pretty big beneficiary of this thing running up too.
Yeah, because everyone thinks it's just a bunch of Redditors, but it's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
And so these guys came in because they're like, we're seeing some action here. This is September.
Yeah.
They bought 5%.
They did their own independent reviews on it too. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they were jumping on a bandwagon. They weren't reading Wall Street Bets. They had no idea about the Reddit forum.
Let me show you guys a cool trick about Nikki. Okay. So Nikki just said they did their own research about it. Now watch what her computer brain can do. Watch this. So what kind of research did they do on this company?
Well, they did research on the intrinsic value of it.
Mm-hmm. And
What's
that?
What? I don't know. I feel challenged now.
You're not challenged.
You put me on a pedestal. I'm so scared.
No, I know how your brain works. So I'm very excited for everybody to see this.
Well, they did all this independent research because they're value investors, which is the kind of investing that I like to do, which is Warren Buffett style of value investing. And they...
I'm just going to sit back.
So how that works is you scope out companies and you find companies that are in an area that you know a lot about, and then you wait for them to go on sale, either because of an event that happens, or maybe people are not believing in this company anymore, or maybe they are going through a lawsuit or whatever. Like the pandemic happened for GameStop, malls shut down. So anyway, they find that these stocks are at a discount, and they were like, we think it's undervalued. And that was all them independently coming to that conclusion, not them reading a Reddit thread, but them doing their own research on how they normally evaluate a stock. Right. And they're a hedge fund that does this all the time. And they, by the way, they've been very volatile. Some years they return like an 18%, which is a pretty good return. It beats the market. Some years they lose 24%. It's not like they're just always just money makers. No. But what they do, all the strategy that doesn't change is that they seek stocks that they think are on sale and undervalued. And that's when they make their move and purchase a bunch.
And
that's what they did with GameStop.
And like you said, some years they're up, some years are down. This year, $700 million profit.
Yes.
Because of GameStop. How crazy is that shit?
Yes. And they actually sold before the wave, like right when the wave was just starting. Is when they're like, oh, this is like kind of, this is in some other world dimension. And that's when they decided to sell all of their position.
Yeah.
But they had been buying it last year. Like, so it wasn't just this, it wasn't like a lot of the legalities around this that people are like, oh, these Redditors are, this is illegal and they're being investigated right now, is because you're not allowed to artificially manipulate a stock's price,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the controversy is, isn't that what hedge funds do anyway? Because anytime they enter and exit a position, they're moving huge amounts of money. So it does essentially manipulate the price of a stock. How come a group of Redditors that are doing it publicly, how come that's illegal, but it's not illegal for the hedge funds exactly. to do it?
And that's what a lot of people have questions about.
Yeah.
And I found it very interesting to see, because Wall Street has basically snapped back through CNBC, Bloomberg, all like Wall Street Journal. And they're basically saying, hey, if you were involved in this, we want to let you know. Like, let's go back to the timeline, right? So GameStop takes the fuck off. Well, we're talking about, it actually laddered up pretty nicely.
Yeah.
Like as far as like green candles, like going up, I'm sorry, green candles are like when a stock goes up, it just has a green candle showing you entry price. And then like for the day,
it looks like a candle.
Exit price looks like a green candle when it's up and then a red candle when it's down, right? And so this thing laddered up. I'm telling you, if you look at the GameStop chart for the year, look at the yearly chart for it. You can just type in GME on Google and you'll find it pretty easily. You'll see how it exponentially increases like stairs, and then all of a sudden it turns into a fucking elevator going up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exponentially. Like an elevator. Yeah. It's just crazy. And so a lot of people think that, oh, well, this just happened targeted.
Like they targeted a random stock.
Right.
This and wouldn't have gone anywhere.
Bro, you can look at the exponential growth. It's actually very, very much like it was there months ago. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just some random new meme thing that happened.
Yeah. It's not like Dogecoin where they emitted it out of thin air.
Well, listen, don't attack Dogecoin.
I'm not.
To my face.
I actually love.
You do it behind my back.
I love Dogecoin.
Thank you.
Dogecoin. Thank you. I love the whole concept.
I do too. It's a huge fuck you.
It's exactly.
It's a hugest fuck you to a monetary system.
But people are using them analogously, yeah. Where it's like, oh, Dogecoin is a fuck you meme coin to like be like, whatever, crypto's not real. And then this GameStop thing is like, oh, we took a company that was going to go out of business and like we memed it and now it's fine.
And so that's what's so interesting about this, right? So you have this hedge fund. They come in, they say, guess what? We're shorting this thing 140%. More shares than it even has, okay? This guy, deep fucking value, he's making YouTube videos. He's like, I like the stock. I like this. I like GameStop. I think it's tight. Went there when I was a kid. I think the consoles are coming out soon. The new consoles will be coming out end of the year, November. I think it'll go up. That's what these hedge fund guys thought too. Mm-hmm. Same shit. The guys who bought 5%. So now GameStop goes up, right? And then everyone kind of joins in on this movement, which comes out later that like, hey, they're heavily shorting this. Did you know that? We're going to buttress the argument of why GameStop was going up to begin with this movement now that extends from Occupy Wall Street back in the early like 2010s, where a bunch of people said, hey, we think it's fucked up that no matter what happens to us, 2008 happens, people get foreclosed on, there are bailouts for Wall Street, not for the people. There's always going to be some kind of a safety net blanket, socialism for Wall Street, socialism for big business, but no help for the people who are going through this, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of the undercurrent to a lot of this stuff that's going on, that people are ignoring.
I mean, the housing market crisis, same thing where the banks got bailed out.
Exactly. And the car dealerships got bailed out.
But if you lose your home because you can't pay for a loan, like you're fucked.
You're done. But they're kicking you on the street.
But the banks can short all these people. And
they get bailed out if they fucked up. And that's what's going on right behind the scenes. Like when you look at why this became a movement for people, when people go, I'm buying GameStop and I'm not fucking selling it. They're talking about this. They're talking about there's this us versus them thing going on that seems to last no matter who's president, no matter who gets elected in Congress, no matter who controls the House and Senate. Mm-hmm. It just seems to be a constant that has existed. Your parents' parents dealt with it. My parents' parents dealt with it. And just seems to have been something that's intrinsically in our society now, mm-hmm. which I think is now bubbling back up to the surface after Occupy Wall Street got kind of squashed. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden it's kind of rearing its ugly head again, or not so ugly head, but to the powers that be it is. Mm-hmm. Right, so let's go back. Right, GameStop goes up, all of a sudden Melvin Capital is like, oh shit, we can't cover our short, we borrowed all these stocks, we can't pay for it. Then these other hedge funds come in and say, yo, you can borrow money from us. We'll help out. And then the Redditors and this hedge fund at 5% is like, we're going to fucking hold. You know, well, the hedge fund's probably out by then. But these Redditors and these retail investors start pouring in and saying, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah.
We're going to buy it. We're going to hold it.
Well, and like Elon Musk tweeted.
Elon Musk tweets.
You know, so that also drove a bunch of people, new people.
You got Mark Cuban out there, mm-hmm. owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He's saying he's a billionaire too. I mean, everyone knows Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
But he's saying like, yo, I don't think this is wrong. I think this is people valuing a company and the company can make adjustments on what their valuation is and where they want to invest their money now that they have these, like the stock, which is basically a cash reserve if they want it to be.
Exactly.
So, so now all of a sudden, this is last Thursday.
Today's February 3rd, by the way. Yes. So new things might have come out. We don't know, but
true. So last Thursday, This is in the middle of what they called the squeeze, where the hedge fund was pretty fucked already. They couldn't cover it. They had somebody come in and try to, another hedge fund come in, try to help them cover it.
Yeah.
And then the stock went up again.
Yeah.
And it's now up at like 350, I think. And they're all going, oh, fuck, we're all fucked, actually.
Yeah.
I think Melvin's going out of business.
Yeah.
They're like liquidating.
And then Citadel, is it Citadel that came in?
I don't know.
To try to save them?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I don't know which one, what the name was for that. But point being, two hedge funds trying to save one hedge fund, they both drown.
Right.
And Redditors are like, hold the line.
Yeah.
And now new people I haven't heard from in years, by the way, are texting me because they know that I love like crypto and investment stuff. And so like, yo, dude, are you getting in on some of this shit? And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, I think it's funny.
I bought a share of GameStop.
You know what I'm saying? Fuck them. No. But no, it was just, I look at it as we bought a ticket to the show.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to go to the show and we got to watch.
I got to say I'm a part owner of GameStop while it's all happening.
It's pretty sick, by the way. That's why I love this woman, dude. There's nobody a troll could have married who's better than this woman. So then you, Robin Hood comes out. And Robin Hood, as Nikki knows,
yes.
Robin Hood's known for like, we're going to open the financial system.
Well, here's what I'm bummed about with Robin Hood is that, so they spent a good 7 years just building the trust of their clientele. Like they really had an impact in the way that we trade stocks right now. It's like, it's kind of unbelievable. They did change the market in a big way that made it way more accessible for the everyday person, which is what they were celebrated for. Because before Robinhood, you used to have to pay for every time you did a trade, there were brokerage fees. And very famously, Robinhood came in and says, no fees. There's no commission. So
all the wolves of Wall Street fucking hate those guys.
They hated Robinhood.
Hated those guys.
So Robinhood ends up being this like iconic. It's this app, and I don't know if before Robinhood they even sold parts of shares, because Robinhood you could buy parts of shares, and I don't know if you could do that before Robinhood. But anyway, they're credited for just helping the everyday person and helping personal finance and investing be more accessible to the everyday person, which I love.
Yes.
I think it's so great. And their mission statement, which I thought was very interesting. Their mission statement reads, Robinhood's mission is to democratize finance for all. We believe that everyone should have access to the financial markets, so we've built Robinhood from the ground up to make investing friendly, approachable, and understandable for newcomers and experts alike. That is their mission statement. I love that. Democratizing finance for all.
Yeah.
Which is why it was explosive controversy when they then seemed to take the side of the hedge funds.
Yes.
And blocked regular people, all their people, anyone that's trying to trade on Robinhood, you weren't allowed to buy GameStop. You weren't allowed to buy AMC. You weren't allowed to buy anything
Nokia,
that was being posted
any of the ones
on
that,
Wall Street
the quote
bets.
Unquote memes, but they're companies. These are real companies.
Right.
And by the way, you could sell these companies, which would help.
Yeah, you could sell them, which would help the hedge funds.
But you could not buy them.
Because when you sell a stock and no one's buying the stock, it makes the price go down.
Yes.
So weird that they would allow selling but not buying.
And they froze it.
And then there were some rumors, and I don't know how much is true, but there was rumors that one of the hedge funds, Citadel, was losing a fuck ton of money, also owns part of Robinhood. So they pulled some strings on the back end.
I'll be very interested to see if that gets investigated.
So Robinhood got into like really hot water.
Yeah,
for
their brand is fucked, I think.
That's why everyone was shitting all over Robinhood on Twitter. If you heard any of that but you didn't get why, that's why. Recently on Monday of, well, this week, by the time this comes out, I don't know. It was last week.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Robinhood actually sent an email to all of its clients. It says, we wanted to reach out to you after a transformative week in the markets to answer a question we know many of you are asking. Why did Robinhood limit certain stocks? We understand that the temporary limits we placed on certain stocks this past week were frustrating for many, especially since we built Robinhood to expand access to investing. We have also sought to put our customers first, and we wanted you to be able to invest on your own terms. To help explain what happened and why we had to take action, we wrote a letter to our customers and captured the key understandings for you below. One, for Robinhood to operate, we must meet clearinghouse deposit requirements to support customer trades. Two, deposit requirements are determined in part by how much stock a firm's customers hold. If a firm's customers' holdings are volatile, a broker, in this instance Robinhood, is obligated to meet higher deposit requirements. Three, last week, in part due to volatility in some popular stocks, Robinhood's deposit requirements rose tenfold. The combination of the deposit increase and the extraordinary increase in volume on these particular symbols led us to put temporary buying restrictions on a number of those small stocks. And lastly, we had to take steps to limit buying in these volatile stocks to ensure we could comfortably meet our deposit obligations. We didn't want to stop people from buying stocks, and we certainly weren't trying to help hedge funds. Hope you take away that.
But we did.
At Robinhood, we stand with everyday investors participating in the markets. Standing by our Robinhood community means being there for our customers through any trading environment. We'll continue to improve as we break down barriers in the financial system to open it up for
Remember, all. Remember, we let you sell. We were down for you to sell. We were trying to protect you.
So yeah.
You could sell.
They said they're limiting it for safety.
Of course.
For safety.
Well, no, because markets are extremely volatile, Nikki.
And that's true. They are volatile. Okay. And you might not know that.
You know?
You might not know that.
You might. Hey, when you put your money into a stonk, you might not know this, but you're risking your money.
You are at, yeah, that stonk could go
that
down.
That is what Robinhood was built on. That is literally your whole business.
Yeah.
Is if I buy a stock, it could go down, I could lose money.
Yeah, and you have newsletters and articles to teach people all this
stuff. But now they're trying to teach me something during a hot stock that's getting shorted to the fucking gills by a hedge fund.
Mm-hmm.
By a hedge fund that is backed by another hedge fund.
Yep.
But okay.
Right. The only argument I can think of for Robinhood, this is just to play devil's advocate, is that Robinhood recently, like within the past year, has also been under hot water for trigger warning, a suicide that happened. A young man didn't know how to trade options, right? Options are very complicated. Not everyone knows, but I mean, this is what's happening right now. The hedge funds were trading options, but the options are complicated, and this person didn't know really what they were doing, and they didn't know the consequences of what could happen, and they ended up losing $700,000. They got a bill saying, hey, you owe $700,000. And this person was like 18, 20, like something like very young. And they were like, I don't have $700,000. And also, I don't know how long that would ever take me to pay off. I might be in debt for the rest of my life. I fucked myself. My life is over. And so they took their life. But what they didn't realize is that they could have sold those stocks and it would have been okay. It would have been a loss, but not as big of a loss like that. Mm-hmm. But so
not even near that big
because
a loss.
Of that, they actually had a lawsuit filed against them that they were letting people trade that didn't really know what they were doing. Like, okay. And so it's not safe for those people. And so, and I don't know how much they care about people or whatever, but maybe they care about lawsuits. And so they see this situation after coming hot off of that situation as another situation where something volatile is happening. People can lose a fuck ton of money, money that maybe they didn't know they could lose. Maybe they didn't know.
Maybe.
And so they were trying to avoid another lawsuit. That's the only argument that I could think of in Robinhood's defense.
No, and
but they didn't put that in there. Obviously, they wouldn't tell you, hey, we're trying to avoid lawsuits. But
well, look, that could certainly be the case. Right? Let's just pretend for a second that we agree with that. I still don't know why you let people sell still.
Right.
Why not?
Why do you allow one?
Freeze it completely because you're like, this is volatile and we just want to see what's going on. We want to zoom out or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, the fact that they let people sell still was what made it shady as fuck.
They'll never be able to shake that for me.
I don't think they'll be able to shake it for anyone.
No.
So many.
Although they got a Super Bowl ad coming out, I heard. they're trying to save it.
They're spending all the rest of their money.
Yeah.
They only have bad press associated with them right now.
Yeah.
Every influencer I know that used to promote them has dropped them.
Nottingham, Sheriff of Nottingham is now their new title or whatever. That's what people are going with.
Oh, really? That's funny.
That's the new meme about it.
That's funny.
It's not Robinhood. It's
but,
Sheriff.
You know, it wasn't just Robinhood that was doing this. Like, Webull was doing it, TD Ameritrade. Like, there were a lot of brokerages that were also doing this because they wanted to cover their asses.
Yeah. And they doing what?
Limiting what you could do with stocks.
Just want to make sure that everyone knows.
Yeah. But Robinhood was getting the most attacked because they're supposed to be the ones fighting for the people.
We expect TD Ameritrade and E-Trade and all these assholes to do that. Mm-hmm. But Robinhood's supposed to be with me.
Yeah.
That's their argument.
Exactly. Right.
And so, yeah, that's why a lot of people are really pissed. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on now with GameStop. We're going to talk about kind of what like this movement is.
Yeah.
And we're going to get in the nitty gritty about where it's going.
Oh, shit.
When we return.
You know what's like the future holds?
I think I do.
You should get into futures.
I'm going to go long, baby.
Yeah, go long.
I'm going long.
Well, I do have a share of GameStop. I'm going pretty long with.
Let's go margin long. 100x margin long.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back to it.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany, Florida.
And back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You Podcast. Brought to you by Robinhood.
Now that's where
you
go.
You get one free stock if you use our discount code in the description. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, we're kidding. So all these Redditors are now being finger pointed at, right?
Mm-hmm. They're being investigated.
But yeah, most importantly, this is very interesting. So Jimmy Kimmel, who is a comedian.
Yes, and a talk show host.
And a talk show host has called these people Russians.
The Redditors?
Yes. This is.
I like how just being called Russian is an insult.
It's McCarthyism.
Like, I'm a quarter Russian.
Yeah. No, I mean, we all know that, you know, McCarthyism, for some reason, is back. Anytime you want to accuse somebody of something, you just call them a Russian or a Russian sympathizer. And, like, that's a good insult, I guess. But, yeah, so he's calling this a Russian influence campaign on his comedy show.
Well, it's funny.
It's really funny. As usual. And you've got people on CNBC saying that this is foreign intervention, which, like I said, if you look at the groundswell, where this came from.
Yeah.
Like, this is from Occupy Wall Street. This is the sentiment about 2008. People who saw, I mean, dude, when Obama got elected, I remember very famously, he told people, we're going to make sure we cover your mortgages. Mm-hmm. Okay. 5.5 million people got foreclosed on after that campaign promise went away, because that's how our system is, right? Mm-hmm. No matter who you elect, you tend to get the same result, mm-hmm. right? And so now here we are, it's 2021. People are going, I just wanted to buy a stock that, well, first a guy goes, I want to buy a stock that I think is good. And then a bunch of people start going, I want to buy a stock that I think is going to fuck over the people who fuck over people for a living.
Right.
Right. And so now they start getting called foreign enemies. Okay. Wall Street Bets on Reddit gets banned, or not banned. It gets closed.
Yeah.
To the public.
The moderators.
The moderators closed it on the same day that Robinhood disallowed.
Yeah. Buying.
Buying, which fucks with the price. No matter how, no matter who you are, no matter like, that directly fucks with the price. Right. And then now they're quote slow rolling your ability to purchase the stock.
Yeah.
So that it can't go up that much. It can go up, sure, if you want it to, but it can't go up that much. So like it went down to like, I know it was down in the 80s or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it went right back up to 100 plus. And then now it's still trying to struggle to get back up because people are still going, I want to buy this shit, but they're being limited.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
It's very interesting because the way that the hedge funds would even get out of this would be to try to just take their losses and sell at the lowest price they can,
yes,
which is still way higher than what they initially traded for.
Yes.
But by limiting people being able to buy it, it makes it so that the hedge fund could get out a little easier if they want to take that route.
It's a pretty nice avenue for them.
Yeah.
Especially if you got people on TV saying that what you're doing is wrong and it's maybe illegal. And then you announce the SEC is investigating Redditors.
Yeah.
And
not the hedge funds
who are shorting something for more stock than it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't get brought up. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, the only argument I've heard is like for the hedge funds is that, oh, this is a common investing strategy. Okay. Let's just take that as it is. You don't short for more shares than are circulation. And if you do decide to do that, you would know as a hedge fund that that's extremely risky. Like, and so the risky part of that is you could lose all your money. Like, well,
it's not that risky if you get bailed out every time. And that's what the people are saying, right? Yeah. They're saying, hey, we know that you guys get this every fucking time. I mean, look at what just happened with all the COVID relief packages, right? Mm-hmm. All that money went to Wall Street. I mean, you could say whatever you want about how we all got checks, but bro, we got nothing.
Yeah.
Like those guys got everything. They could have given everyone in America a check for $20,000, but instead they decided to give it all to Wall Street. Okay.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It's how it is. It's how the system is. Like George Collins said, it's a big club, you ain't in it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who's elected.
They're just making it really obvious right now.
That's what's amazing. They're pulling back the curtain. For some reason, they're just so desperate to hold on to their power, these hedge funds, that it doesn't matter if you can recognize that for some reason Jimmy Kimmel's talking about how a bunch of people on Reddit who are doing something that objectively could be seen as funny are foreign actors. Like, that just blows my mind, honestly.
Yeah.
So the Redditors just keep on fucking buying, right? They're limited and all that stuff. Now, all of a sudden, a new term is out now, right? They call it the meme stock. Okay.
Yes.
Because AMC started to run.
Mm-hmm.
AMC, which is a movie theater company.
Yeah.
And they just had a horrible time because of COVID.
Right.
And so basically a bunch of hedge funds were looking at shorting them. And then Reddit caught wind of that. And they said, you know what? We're going to fucking make a run at AMC. We're going to buy it because we think it's worth something.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was thinking about buying AMC because... I don't think, like, eventually when it opens up, people are going to want to go to the movies again.
Fuck yeah.
And so it's at a discount right now.
It was like, our first date was at AMC. Like
before any of this Wall Street stuff happened, the Wall Street Reddit or whatever, Wall Street Bets, I was seriously looking at AMC.
Yeah.
I hadn't done enough evaluations to recognize what price I wanted to buy at, but I was actually looking at it.
But I feel like they turned this into a white hot
they did.
Issue.
That they, like the only reason them. You would buy AMC is to screw,
fuck this hedge fund. But whereas before it was literally started by a guy who's excited about GameStop.
Yeah.
You can watch the videos. Okay. I can't remember the name of this cat because his deep fucking value. But then on YouTube, he doesn't have his branding sorted out.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I will have Mark post it in the so you can
it
see.
It happened to a lot of us.
True.
Some of us started our accounts at the beginning of YouTube and we went by our AIM screen names.
Oh. Mistake. I never did that, by the way. Always was branded as Steve Green.
That's
always.
Because you started so as a YouTuber.
So smart.
I started my channel as an internet nerd.
I also had very smart people around me telling me, like,
right, exactly.
Give me good advice.
Yeah,
by the way.
So I didn't think of branding or anything. I just thought of watching cat videos and had to register a name.
I'm just saying I never did that dumb shit, and I think that's
pretty
smart.
Yeah, because you weren't cool.
Thank you. So, okay, let's talk about now the meme stocks are out.
Right.
And there's this another hotbed morality issue about, is that okay if a stock is being purchased because everyone's saying, let's buy this right now versus, hey, we want to speculate on a stock because we think this is going to go up. It's the same exact idea behind it, right? We think this is going to go up.
Yeah.
Speculation is not illegal in the stock market.
Yeah.
You can speculate as much as you want on anything you want.
It's just usually the little guy doesn't win. That's all.
That seems to be something that they don't like.
Right.
Much. Yes.
Well, what it seems to be that they don't like as well is that oh, you guys are just treating this like a casino. Like, it's not a casino. Like, you have to evaluate companies and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, I can understand it to a degree, because they're talking about these Redditors like as if they just walk into Wall Street and pick a random company, put all their money on mm-hmm. that company, and then, you know, pray.
Some do, but that's not what is happening here.
No.
And they made it worse by stopping not only, well, Wall Street Bets closing plus the app Robinhood not allowing selling.
Right.
Plus all the news calling you an enemy of the Republic if you are doing this. I mean, you want to put some pieces together and make a bunch of people pissed off. You could start to see the underswell of this French Revolution that seems to be happening in our markets, right? And so now all of a sudden silver gets brought up. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about this?
A little bit.
So silver is a heavily shorted commodity. And the idea is that a couple of companies heavily control the supply of silver. And there's paper silver versus actually owning silver, right? Mm-hmm. But it seems like the price has not... everyone says Bitcoin... Litecoin is the silver to Bitcoin's gold, right? That's because Litecoin tends to go up like relative to Bitcoin. It tends to stay steady with relative to Bitcoin. That's when it got that moniker. For some reason, silver's not moving with gold. Gold goes up mm-hmm. and silver kind of stays flat, mm-hmm. right? Until recently. Because all of a sudden, the people who are now like, hey, fuck hedge funds. We're going to look for like hedge funds that are shorting things, which is a risk that they take.
Sure.
Because people can see what you're doing. And a rival hedge fund could target you.
Yeah.
And they're going, yeah, we're going to target these hedge funds and try to fucking run them out because they need to fuck off. And so then they attacked silver the same way. They started buying silver. That's quote unquote an attack, right? They bought silver. Silver has gone up. You can see it. If you pull up any silver chart right now, you can see it going up. And so this is now the fear on Wall Street is shorting dead? Will we be able to short anything heavily again because we're afraid of a bunch of Redditors mm-hmm. coming in and competing with us? And then
it's just so funny because
it's funny.
The only difference that's happening right now is that the Redditors didn't form a hedge fund. Like, that's the not an organized group. They're not an organization.
They're not even sharing money.
Right. They're all, which is, hey, to be honest, probably the most American thing that I've seen in a while.
Right.
Like, when we fought England, like, we didn't have like armies. It was just like guerrilla warfare.
Yep.
And that's kind of what's happening.
It's exactly right. It's exactly right.
But the origination of it wasn't just like, hey, let's just fuck over some hedge funds for fun.
No.
Like, the origination of it was, oh, we want to invest in these companies. Oh, they don't want us to. Oh, well, let's do it more.
Exactly.
Oh, they're shorting this company.
Exactly.
Well, let's do it more.
That's why it speaks to me. It speaks to the trolling.
The pettiness.
Yeah. The insecurity.
When someone tells you can't do something, it's like, exactly. Well, why not?
Fucking biz me out.
I'm going to do it more then.
That's one of your triggers too.
It is. All right. Want to do it more now.
Perfect.
That's why I bought a GameStop stonk.
I know, and that's why I love you. Okay, so let's talk real quickly about the morality of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you go back to 2008
yes.
and you look at what the powers that be did at the time, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. They told a bunch of people, hey, we think you can afford this loan for this house. And then after they gave them a loan that was high risk, to them, they knew it was high risk.
But they didn't tell the people that.
No, they did not. On the back end, they, after everything goes down, blame the little guy, just like they're doing Redditors right now.
Right.
They're blaming them because they took a fuck ton of risk.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the pattern between these two incidents.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about the morality of this entire situation?
I think it's hot garbage.
Yeah.
I think that... I mean, I tried to look at the other side. Like, I really tried to like look at the arguments for the hedge funds, like against the Redditors, you know. And I just feel like they're grasping, because mm-hmm. none of this is illegal. Like, I understand market manipulation is illegal, but I don't see this as being that. Like, it doesn't. I don't think that they, obviously they're like, well, I want to buy more GameStop. What if they just didn't want GameStop to go out of business and this hedge fund would have taken GameStop out of business? Like, what is the difference? I think that there's very unclear lines at like what is legal and not, despite the morality of the situation. And for the morality part, when it comes in is like, why are you only investigating one side? Why are you only investigating this Redditor group and not any of the hedge fund activity?
At least pretend to investigate the hedge funds.
Yeah, exactly.
But they don't. So that's what I think, that's what I see the most in all of this, is the system seems to be laid to bear, right? Yeah. Everyone seems to see what it is. And maybe not everyone, like maybe someone's grandma is like, I've talked to some people who are like, I think this is so stupid. Like these people were so stupid. Like, why are they buying totally. The stupid meme yeah. stocks? And I'm like, that's not what's
These
going on.
These people are
going
to get fucked. They're going to lose all their money, blah, blah, blah.
They first of all, they're the ones saying, I don't give a fuck. I'm holding forever.
Yeah.
Diamond hands is one of the memes, right?
Right.
I will have diamond hands as in my hands are so fucking strong. I'm holding these bags.
Because now it's principal.
Because it's a principal.
Yeah.
And we even said when we bought our GameStop stock, we're like, we're never selling it. I'll give it to our grandkids.
Yeah, I
don't
mean,
give a fuck. If it really is that
you
important,
have to sell when if they go bankrupt, but yeah,
I still won't sell it then. Keep the certificate. Hey, ship it to me. Ship me the certificate.
Yeah, I just think that I think that the way it appears, and maybe there's a piece I'm missing. I'd always like to leave room for that, mm-hmm. but the way it appears is that there's a system, and they're like, yeah, like. Look, we're hella fucking rich. Like, yeah, we're millionaires and billionaires. We have yachts and shit. But you could do it too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the way it's the system set up, you know, you have the same powers. We, you know, if you just learn what to do, like, you can do it too. And I do like that. I yeah. like that in, like, there's a lot of haters on capitalism mm-hmm. and stuff. But in a capitalist society, in a free market economy, you can go from rags to riches. If you just, like, if you do things a certain way or you apply specific knowledge and skills or whatever, you can compete.
Yes.
You're allowed to compete.
You're supposed to.
Okay, and you're supposed to, and that's what makes it thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Where the corruption comes in is where they make it seem like there's a free market economy, but really there's a lot of just these high rollers at the top that are colluding together to make sure that nobody else, that they always win and nobody else wins.
And what's the first thing they're asking for? Because if you turn on TV right now on CNBC, any of these channels, they're all, you got these guys who, when Republicans are in charge, they beg because they know they could make this happen for deregulation of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. Like, please deregulate Wall Street. We got too many rules. It's ridiculous. Like, we're just trying to have the American dream.
Yeah.
Right. And then they do that. Right. And then now this happens and like, please regulate Wall Street. This is fucked up. Can you believe this happens? I can't even know how this happened to us. They're
yeah.
literally begging for regulations
uh-huh.
because the little guy just beat
just
them
won.
At their
yeah.
own game.
Because they asked for everything to get loosened and that allowed them to lose.
Boom.
Yeah.
And that's what I find so very funny about all this. And that's why I will never sell my fucking game stonks. I'm not going to
so
sell.
Stubborn.
I'm not selling.
I know. I understand.
Yeah. If all we had in our cupboard,
uh-huh.
as people like to say, was a loaf of bread, and I could sell my game stonk to get more, I would say no.
Well, I like bread.
Well, you see, Nikki has a really cool trick where she heats up a little bit of sourdough bread. She puts some.
Well, I put the butter on first.
She puts the butter on first.
And I put it in the microwave.
But it's not real butter. What is it called?
It's Earth Balance.
Fucking good.
Vegan
by the way.
Butter.
Put it in the microwave. How long?
Put it on sourdough bread. That's important.
What's sourdough bread though?
I use the San Luis Obispo. Wait, no, not San Luis.
San Luis.
Yeah, San Luis.
Very important. If you fuck it up,
shout out.
She's not
going to
like you.
Yeah. And then I put it in the microwave.
Uh-huh.
I don't toast the bread and then like butter it. That's uh-huh. too fancy. It takes too much time.
That's right.
And
then what do you do?
And I don't even put it on a plate. I put it on a paper towel.
That's right.
And I put it in for 30 seconds. And it's perfect.
And then what do you do?
And I eat it. They eat it just like that.
You could do it at your home.
Anyone could
do it. You
could
do it in a trailer.
I democratized bread and butter.
You decentralized and democratized bread and butter. And you turn it into a snack that warms your heart.
Yes.
And I love it. And when you make it, it makes me sad. I do watch you make it. And it makes me a little bit sad because I feel so bad for you. because I'm like, that is a truly white trash poor snack.
Yeah.
A poor, truly a poor as you make it. But you, I see, but then I see the joy in your face.
It's more fun
when you eat it.
Yeah. The people, when they take themselves too seriously, they lose the fun in their life.
Damn right.
Like, if you're really going to criticize my bread and butter move, it's like, what's going on in your life?
Dude, even the Richies who have the calamari.
Yeah.
They would like this, I think. If you told them it was from like artisanal or from like France or something.
That's another thing I like about Eminem is that he has millions and millions of dollars, but he still talks about his white trash food that he eats.
Talks about wanting to go to Target, which I like.
Yeah. Well, he daydreams about going to Target because he can't actually go there because he'd get too recognized and it wouldn't be fun for him. But he fantasizes about going to Target.
He should go to Target in like a different country.
Maybe.
Then he'd be fine.
Yeah, maybe.
So.
Maybe. He's pretty famous all over, worldwide.
No, just in America.
International.
Just in Detroit, I think.
It's an international treasure.
So, in closing, Nikki.
Yeah.
As we look ahead.
Buy Nokia.
Are we buying Nokia?
I had bought a Nokia during this time as well because I wanted to
support. Full financial disclosure, by the way. We are owners of GameStonks and Nokia.
If you want to know my portfolio, we have one GameStonk. One Nokia.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had a brick phone. Honestly, the Nokia one, I was like, that's nostalgic. But then I think out of all of them, the more I read about Nokia, they have some cool tech that's coming out. they got some access to some 5G stuff.
Dude, we're shilling
that's
our
happening.
Bags here. We're shilling our fucking bags.
Listen, right. I read the Seeking Alpha articles. Don't think I don't. And I was surprised to see.
I actually had the same thing.
Yeah.
And I had the same experience as you with Nokia where I was like, shit.
Yeah,
I thought this was a meme stonks. What are you doing?
Thought it was meme stonks all the way 100%.
But I actually thought it was worth something just in case the SEC is watching.
We thought it, well, I the nostalgia part. I was like, I don't want Nokia to go out of business.
I was like, this is a good company.
I still have a brick phone I want to sell eventually.
Yeah. I was like, how about this? What a good company, I think.
Listen, they're the originals, the OGs.
That's true. Dude, did you know they've been around since like the 1800s?
What?
Nokia, yeah.
What'd they make back then?
Okay. The phonograph? I have no idea.
If aliens don't own Nokia, then I don't know what the deal is. Right?
So it should go up because the aliens own it. That's what I'm thinking.
Or they're trying to lay low right now. Watch the alien. The first time aliens show themselves to the public is them doing an IPO.
Dude, what if they do a brand deal? They have like Nokia phones and they have Reeboks and shit.
I'd be so confused.
I would too.
Anyway.
Well, that's all we got for you today, folks. We hope that you enjoyed this episode.
I hope that clears up some of the stuff so when you're talking to your friends, you can kind of school them a little bit.
Yeah. And listen, we are on the side of anybody should just be able to buy whatever they want. And hopefully people don't make stupid moves for themselves.
Yeah, I'm on the side of Robin Hood's original mission statement.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I'm sure there are arguments for the other side that maybe I didn't come across, but I really tried to find something. There was one that was like, oh, these are people's 401ks, you know, and like, oh, you're cheering for people losing their 401ks. No.
Yeah.
If you're putting your 401k in the hands of a hedge fund, then you are aware at the high risk and volatility involved with that.
Yep.
Point blank.
Yep.
Otherwise, you'd have it in an index fund like everyone else, making an average of 7 to 10% a year, which is pretty good. That's the market. Okay. And then you'd have it in your TD Ameritrade account and like you're fine. But no, you put it with a hedge fund. So I don't think that's the same boat of people. I think that these people are like, these are like millionaire people that have so many millions of dollars. They're like, I don't know what to do with all this. You do. You deal with it. Make it more into millions.
Exactly.
And so they give it to a hedge fund because they're the most aggressive. And that's what happened. So that's the only argument that I heard that I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of sad. But I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
I think you're on. I think you're dead on.
All right. Well.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
That's
we love
our show.
You guys.
We love you guys.
Also, we do an extra bonus episode
on our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, STIKKI. Check it out.
We do a show called Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, where we talk about what's presently going on in our lives in a very intimate way.
Yeah. We do it in our closet. It's very secret.
Very fun. Yeah.
We'll see you next time. Be sure to rate us because, you know, we lost a bunch of people on Apple iTunes from them shadow banning us.
Thanks, everybody.
Took the asterisk out. Bye.
Bye.